Lord is the greatest person to connect to. Amen. We look and see how people are trying to connect these days through social media and Facebook and all those different things. And I'm a Facebook user. I like to connect. I'm a person. I'm a people person. If you haven't figured that out by now, I love to connect to people. Invite me over at your house to eat, and I will come. Everybody else that I've been over at their house, say amen.
Yeah.
They're taking me out to eat. If he takes you out to eat, you'll get razzed the entire time, so you don't want to. No. But everybody has a desire to connect to something. Everybody, you know, when people say, I don't need anybody, that is a flat-out, blatant lie. Everybody needs somebody. Everybody has a desire to connect to somebody. And the whole mission of the church is to get them connected to Jesus, to get them connected into the very person that will change their life. Amen? Because he's the only one that can download life. Nobody else can. Amen? 1 Corinthians 12, verse 12. Let's read that. Says your body is the body is a unit, though it is made up of many parts, and though all the parts are many, they form one body. So it is with Christ, for we are all baptized by one Spirit into one body, whether Jew or Greek, slave or free. We were all given the one Spirit to drink. Now the body is not made up of one part but of many. If the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason cease to be part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason cease to be part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has arranged the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wants them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. Amen? Jesus has made up this freaky little thing called the church. And it's imperfect. Sometimes it smells. Sometimes it's dysfunctional, but God has placed each and every one of us in his body with a story to tell, with a function to accomplish. Amen? If you hit your small toe, how many of you guys think of your small toe all the time? You think of it. You wake up thinking about your small toe. Dreaming about your small toe. It's on your mind. You got pictures of your toes in your office. You know, no, nobody thinks of their toes all the time. But you smash that little toe, and the whole body pays attention to it. Amen? Your mouth proclaims, something's not right with my little toe. All the focus of the body is on that one little toe. And if that little toe was cut off, then you would have issues with balance until you tried to figure out how to do it. Each and every one of you are a part of the body, gifted uniquely to do the function of the ministry in the body. Amen? There's not one person in this church that is sending out of the sound of my voice that is insignificant in the body. All the body parts are functioning together for one reason. To bring continuity, to bring fluency to the body. You see people that struggle with Tourette's, the body is not functioning correctly. There's a problem there. And God has functioned each and every one of us so that we would function properly, so that he would be lifted up. Amen? We can't say to Sarah, we're not in need of her, because we are in need of her. Amen? We can't say to David that we are not in need of him, because we are in need of him. Amen? We can't say to the drummer, we don't need you. Of course we need him. We can't keep beat for nothing. We need a drummer. Got to have a drummer. We can't say to the greeter that you're insignificant because we can't. Did you know that within 3 minutes, a person that has never been to this church will decide in 3 minutes if they will ever step back into this church again? So the first person that they see when they come into the church is who? The greeters. They're very important. So many times we try to put in order the ministries in pecking order from great to least. I told you that whenever I first started in this church that I don't want you behind me, I want you beside me. And the reason why is because you are not insignificant. You have a part to play in the body. Amen? So connect to the church. Connect to what's going on. Belong to what's going on in the church. Come early and have coffee. Listen whenever we're doing announcements, and whatever we're doing outside of the church, be a part of it. If we need volunteers to help clean up, then you know what? That's not insignificant. If we have a big party in here and I ask for people to sign up to help clean up, and they're like, oh, that's insignificant. Somebody else will do that. When you come back next Sunday, guess what's still going to be laying in the floor? Junk. We all have a part to play in the body. Amen? We all have a part to play. Now, in Romania, after communism fell, all the orphans were shipped into this huge, big building. And they had barely enough workers. They were understaffed. The orphans barely got enough to eat and to drink and formula and a place of shelter. And most of them, because there was so many, because the orphanages had combined because of communism and the downfall of it, the babies, the newborns, were not able, even though that their basic needs were being taken care of, the workers didn't have enough time to pick them up and to hold them and to coddle them and to play with them. Do you know how important it is for you to have human touch? It's extremely important. The person says that they don't need to be touched, that they don't need anybody else, is a person that has dysfunction in their own body. Because we have to have that. Amen? And so some of these babies, other than having their diapers changed, were never picked up and coddled or rocked or told that they were loved or said that they had any significance in the world at all. And after months and years of this, even though the babies got older, they still stayed the same. They act like babies. They cooed like babies. Everything that they did related to how newborns acted. And doctors called it failure to thrive syndrome, because there was no human touch. There was no connection. There was no love and warmth, encouraging them to grow, encouraging them to walk, encouraging them to say their first words, encouraging them to use the spoon, to continue to grow and develop as children. And the doctors called it failure to thrive syndrome. Now, Christians can be the same way. We might be born again into new life with Christ, but if we are left to our own, we can have the same failure to thrive syndrome in our spiritual lives. This is why Scripture teaches the importance of belonging to a local church. Ephesians 4:14 says this: "Then we will no longer be orphans, tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here or there by every wind and teaching and cunning and craftiness by men in their deceitful schemes." There was never meant to be a lone ranger in your Christian walk. You were never meant to be a lone ranger. Can I get a witness? You cannot be by yourself. You cannot do it all by yourself. You cannot go through troubles all by yourself. You're not strong enough, and you weren't built strong enough. God has created us with a need to connect. Everybody say connect. God has created each and every one of us with abilities and talents to connect in the body so that it will have function and bless the body. Amen? Long gone are the days here in New Freedom or anywhere else, I hope, in the church, that we say that your gift is not as significant as my gift. I'm just a person here standing before you that said yes to the Lord. That's it. I'm no more spiritual than you are. I serve the same Jesus that you serve. I serve the same God that you serve. His blood that washed over my sins is the same blood that washed over your sins. The person that delivered me out of sin is the same person that delivered you out of sin. The Bible says that we are now brothers and sisters in the Lord. Not just by spirit, but we're blood relatives bought by the blood of Jesus. Let that soak in for a second. His blood is more powerful than family blood. Amen? So when you suffer, I suffer. When you have a need, I have a need. When you share in a victory, I share in a victory. You know why? Because if you're weak, I want to be strong for you. If you need prayer, you call me and I'll pray for you. If you need me to help you do something in your house, or if you need me to look up a scripture for you, or if you need encouragement, call on me. Call on your brother. Call on your sister. Amen? If you're sick and you can't function in your home and you're not going to be able to make a meal, call somebody. The first person you should think of is your church. Call upon your church. Call upon the people that you have befriended in church, that you've connected with in church. Amen? Don't say that you're a burden, because you're not. Hey, everybody's down every once in a while. How many guys have been down before? It's important that we connect. That we as believers, as a church, connect. When you have nowhere else to go, you can come to your church family. Amen? Because you're not a lone ranger. You're not out there doing it by yourself. You do not have to grieve by yourself. You don't have to shout by yourself. You don't have to be happy by yourself. Call somebody and we'll laugh. We'll celebrate with you. I sold my house this week. Hallelujah. Yeah. I'm excited about that. I'm excited that I don't have to pay rent and a mortgage at the same time. That brings a smile to my face. I'm telling you, it's like throwing a big mule off of my back. Feels great. I thank God that He's lining up everything in my family. I thank God for victories in your life. When I'm down, encourage me. Look, I told you before, I'm not comfortable on a pedestal, okay? I'm just not. I'm too big of a guy to be on a pedestal. I am not above you. I'm not beneath you. I'm right here beside you. Has the Lord brought me here to lead you? You bet He has. Will I? Absolutely, with all my heart. But you're my brother and you're my sister. And if I need you, I hope you'll be there. And if you need me, I'll be there. But I want to encourage you. Every single one of us has a desire to connect. Connect to your local church. Connect right here. Be involved. Amen? Be involved. When I ask you, hey, would you help do this for the kids? Well, I'm not called to that, Pastor, so that's not my spiritual gifting. You know what? I didn't ask it if it was your spiritual gifting. I asked if you'd help. Amen?
Amen.
Let's not be super spiritual here. We need somebody to watch the kids. Can you help? Well, that's not my spiritual gift. I didn't say it was. Just go keep control. That's all I want you to do. All right? Turn with me to Acts chapter 2. Verse 42. Acts 2:42. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship. Everybody say fellowship.
Fellowship.
To the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common, selling their possessions and goods. They gave to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple court. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their numbers daily those who were being saved. They described the new Christian community as those added to their numbers. Not new converts, not even individual Christians, but new members of the family. They devoted themselves to the fellowship. The early Christians couldn't see themselves outside a Christian community. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship. That means that they were connecting to one another, not just socially, not just a handshake and, hey, how you doing? But they connected to one another. You know what? I always say that you can't know somebody unless you're sitting across eating at their dinner table or out at a restaurant, sitting, listening, talking, listening to your stories. Some of you guys, I've been doing that. I'm making my rounds. I want to get to know you. I want to eat with you. I want to fellowship with you. I want to know where you came from. I want to know what you've done. I want to know your background. Amen? So many times we are so busy in our lives that we fail to connect. We fail to connect to the people that will truly love us, that will truly support us, that will truly be there for us. I encourage you. The Bible says again that that they didn't just count it as numbers. They didn't just count them as new converts. But it was, they counted them as family. People that were added to the family on a daily basis. Those that were being saved. Now, what is fellowship? Now we think of fellowship as what? Eating, right? Potlucks. That's good. I'm all about that. We got coffee going. Come and drink coffee. All those things, those are good tools, but it's not deep enough. True fellowship is described verse 44 and 45. They shared their material possessions together, or caring and sharing must go beyond nice words and prayers. Amen? Caring for people should go beyond nice words and prayers. Can I get a witness? Amen. Bible says that how does the love of God dwell in you if you see your brother cold or hungry and you tell them, hey, go and be well fed, I'll be praying for you. What good is that? You see your brother or sister hurting, knowing that they need someone to listen, knowing that they need someone to have a wise word or someone to speak wisdom into their life. Slow down and take it in. Amen? Because we all have busy lives. How many of you guys have kids that's playing baseball right now? Playing softball? Stuff like that. We all have those things going on. Summertime's here, we're about to go on vacations and start playing softball, and kids are in baseball and soccer and all these different things. Sometimes we just need to slow down a little bit. Take it in. We can't minister to everybody, but again, the Bible says, as you have opportunity, do good unto all men, especially those who are in the faith. As you have opportunity. Now, verse 46, verse 47, they worship together. The church is not just a social club where we are nice to each other. We worship as a community. There was, when I first gotten saved, I guess I was 18, and it was within the first year of me being saved, and everything was new. How many of you guys remember that? Just get saved, everything's new. I mean, you hear God speaking to you, and it's clear as a bell. You have no worries. I mean, things are great. And I was in service, and I was sitting on the front row on the side over here. And I was raising my hands and worshiping the Lord and wasn't trying to. I was just doing what everybody else was doing. And there was a There was a guy sitting on the opposite side who had just gotten saved the week prior. And he came over to me and he had tears in his eyes, and he was around 40, 42 years old. And he told me, he said, "I want to thank you. I want to thank you for showing me how to worship. Thank you for teaching me how to worship." And I said, "How did I do that?" And he said, "Because I've watched you for 2 weeks." And he said, "You don't care what people think about you." I wasn't over there like, you know, doing cartwheels or anything, but I was just worshiping the Lord, freely worshiping the Lord. And the man across from me, and I didn't even realize it, but I was teaching him while I was worshiping the Lord. I was teaching him and didn't even know it. And you see, as believers, when we come together, realize that you're teaching people without standing before people. You're teaching people how to act. You're teaching people, unbeknownst to you, how to worship. You're teaching people how to handle problems and situations. Your life is a teaching tool for people to taste and see that the Lord is good. Amen? When you come in, sometimes in worship, I don't feel like worshiping God because I've had a bad day, had a bad morning. But when I get into the group of people, you should see on Sunday mornings before everybody gets here, Amanda has like the worship team like in a fit. They're jumping in here and hopping around and worshiping and singing and praying together. And when you get around people of like faith, when you're in the mully grubs and you don't feel good, when you don't feel like being around people, when you don't feel like coming and worshiping or hearing or doing or anything else, just disregard everything that your mind is saying and come in, because the enthusiasm from the other believers will rub off on you. It'll rub off on you. Don't just sit there, sit and soak and say, "God, just try to bless me," you know. But know this, you're teaching people when you're doing, when you're worshiping, when you're listening, when people are listening to you talk around the coffee machine over there or whatever it is, people are listening. People are watching. I'm a good people watcher. I like to sit in the mall and watch people. You guys do that? You get tired? I'm going to confess something to you, all right? I look at people's shoes. I don't know why. Dana said, we were sitting in the mall one time and we were waiting on the kids to come out of the store. And I was doing this right here. And Dana said, "Quit looking at people's shoes. Why are you doing that?" But I don't know why I do that. You guys have weird fetishes? Let's just bring them out right now. Just bring them out. Come on, no. But sometimes, you know, what we need to do is to focus on somebody else. When you're going through something, it's so easy to focus on yourself. Matter of fact, it's second nature. You don't even have to think about it. Yourself comes first. But Jesus says that whenever you became a Christian, when you were born again, self is not first anymore. The Bible says you died. You died. Jimmy McDonald died when he was 18 in Dallas, Texas. And the person that stands before you is not the same person. Jesus gives me the example of how to treat others. And they are to be first. Amen? So many times we put our needs and wants before everything else. And we have no time for anybody else. That's not the way it's supposed to be. Now, I can't tell you how many times that people have said to me, "Pastor, you can go to church without being a Christian, can't you?" You know what my answer to that is? Are you ready? The answer is yes, you can. Because it's the blood of Jesus that causes you to be a Christian, not your attendance at church. But let me say this. That failure to thrive syndrome that I was talking about will apply to your life. You will always be an infant. You will never grow beyond yourself. You need your brothers and sisters in the Lord to help you grow, to encourage you, to share the words of life to you. Amen? You need your brothers and sisters in the Lord. Now, there was a story of a young cocky guy. He was about 20 years old. And he went to this to one of the elders in the church who was very wise to his house one evening, and there was a fire going, and they sat on either side of the fireplace, and the elder statesman was poking at the fire, and the man, the young guy was saying, "I don't need everybody else. Why does everybody else tell me I have to go to church and I have to come and all these things?" And he said, I just want to quit because I don't really need anybody else." And he let the guy wail on and on and on and on. And the elder statesman was wise, and he took out his tongs and he reached into the fire and he grabbed a coal and he set it on the hearth and listened to the guy, never saying a word. And the guy kind of, as he was railing on, he looked at the coal and then looked back at the elder statesman, and he was talking to him and giving his, you know, his dissertation of why he doesn't need to come to church, why he doesn't need anybody else, why he'll be a good Lone Ranger. And as he began to talk, the elder statesman looked at the coal and it began to go out and it turned gray. And the heat and the light and the radiance from the coal dimmed to darkness. And as the young man saw that, he said, "Excuse me," took his tongs and he placed the coal back in the fire, and the coal became red hot again. And he said, "See, young man," he said, "even the coal needs the fire. Even the coal needs other coals to burn hot again." And you know, the Bible says in Proverbs 27:17, "As iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another." Turn to your neighbor and tell him, "I need you, and you need me." Go ahead. So I need you, and you need me. That's the way it is. I may be messed up in some areas, but you still need me, and I need you. The reason people go to church is because they feel as though they are needed. They feel as though they connect. They feel as though they have a connection, and they found a niche in the church. Find your niche and be involved. Amen? We're going to be having stuff come up in the church that we're going to start up again, and we're going to need your help. And I want you to feel as though you're connected here in this church. Amen? I want you to feel that you belong, that you have a purpose. Look, in communion, we've got people back there setting up communion. If people thought that it was insignificant to do that, we would have never done it this morning. Amen? If I didn't think it was very important to preach on Sunday mornings, I wouldn't prepare nothing. See how long that lasted. We all have a role to play, whether it be vacuuming or cleaning or taking out the trash or teaching children or helping run games at picnics or whatever it may be. You are valued here in this church. Connect here in this church. Know that you're not by yourself, but you have brothers and sisters in the Lord at New Freedom who will back you up when nobody else will. Amen? Who will pray for you and not judge you. Let me say that again. Who will pray for you and not judge you. Let me say that one more time. Who will pray for you and not judge you, but will believe in faith that God will bring you out of what you're trying to come out of. Amen? How many of you guys know that we serve a God that is a miraculous God? He is bigger and wiser and stronger and holier and just than we are. He knows the end from the beginning. That's a guy I want to know. I want to know that. There's back home in the fall, there's a... They grow up the corn and they do these corn mazes and stuff like that. How many of you guys ever did that before? Been through the corn mazes? Well, in the middle of the maze, there's this guy. He's in a tower. The tower's above the maze. And he has a bullhorn. And when people get frustrated, he says, "Go back the way you came. The way you came, take a right and you're out." And so, you know what they do? It's crazy. They listen to him. They listen to what he says. You know why? Because he knows the end from the beginning from the end. Now, the guy took the bullhorn and he said, "You need to take a left and then take a right and then you're out." And the guy would, you know, be crazy if the guy said, "You know what? I got it." Okay? He's been in there an hour. And the guy says, take a left. No, I think I'm going to take a right. That's crazy. And sometimes that's what we do with God. We hear the voice of the Lord, and it may not be what we want to hear. And we say, well, Lord, I think I'll take a left here for a little while. And the Lord's going, all right, go right ahead. It's kind of like my children. My son, Joshua, when he was a kid, he used to have fits. And he would sit down, plop himself down, fall straight down on his bottom. This is like when he was like 1-2 years old. Okay, he doesn't do this anymore. If he does, smack him on the back of the head, because he shouldn't be doing that now. But he flops down, and then he just throws himself backwards. And he got used to doing that on his bed, and then he started doing it on the floor. And I said, son, don't flop down like that, because you're gonna put a knot on the back of your head. Well, he did it in Walmart one day. And I said, I know what you're about to do. You're going to hurt yourself. What did he do? He flopped down and threw himself backwards. Put a huge knot on the back of his head. Did his daddy just sit there and let him do it? Sure did. You know why? He never did it again. He's smart. Smart boy. And you know, when the Lord speaks to us, it would behoove us to listen. If a teacher says, this is what's going to be on the test, you need to study that because it's going to be on the test. Now, you don't need to say, no, I think I'll study the other two pages. That doesn't make sense. Each and every one of us need to understand that when God speaks us to serve, when God speaks us to belong, when God speaks us to be connected, we need to listen and obey. Amen? Sometimes obeying God, well, all the time obeying God requires faith. Because God's not always going to tell you to do something and you can see the end from the beginning. He's only going to give you glimpses. It's your obligation to step forward one step and say, okay, Lord, now what? Now I want you to step to the left. Okay, all right, Lord, now what? And so when God calls you to connect, when God calls you to belong, when God calls you to serve, serve. Amen. Be a part. Don't just show up and just sit and soak and receive, okay? But thrive. Let other people sharpen you. You sharpen other people. Amen? You have value. You have something to bring to the table, because we're all fitted together by His grand design. Amen? Let's all stand up. Father, I come before you and I thank you so much for the church family that you have put me and my family in. I thank you for the giftings and talents that are in this room. I thank you, Father, for each and every person and all the life experience that they have. All of that life experience has value. It has worth in your kingdom. And the only way, Lord, that you can use that value and use that life experience as if first, Lord, we have yielded it to you. Lord, some of us have hurts in our life that we haven't yielded to you, that can't be a testimony yet because there's still hurt there. And Father, I pray in Jesus' name that you would speak over each and every person in this room. Bring healing to their life. Lord, not so they just be happy and have a good life, but so that you would be glorified, so that when other people go through what we have been through and walked through and got the victory over, we can then apply that once hurtful part of our life and share it with others that are going through it, so that they would be made whole, so that you would be glorified. And Father, I thank you for each and every person in this room. They have value. They have worth. There's a reason that they are here. There's a reason that they belong here. And I pray, Father, that, Lord, once where they were not open to be used, I pray, Father, that they would be open to be used by You. Lord, I pray that You would begin to stretch each and every one of us. Stretch us beyond our bounds in Jesus' name. Stretch us, Father, so that we come to the end of ourselves. Because, Lord, it's at the end of ourselves that we realize that we need You. When we're full of ourselves, when we're oozing of our own confidence, when we're oozing of our own self-assurance, we can't be used. But it's only at the very end of ourselves that we realize the great need for You. Stretch us beyond our bounds, Lord. Show us, Father, that we need to connect. Help us, Father, to be more connected, Father, in Jesus' name. I thank You and I praise You, Lord, that all things done in this church will not be because of me, but will be because of You. Would be because all of us are stretching beyond our means, stretching by faith in Jesus' name, pulling on one another, sharpening on one another, iron like iron sharpens iron. And so, Father, prepare us. Prepare us to be used, Lord. Get us connected. Those that are disconnected, connect them back in so that they may function properly. I thank You and I praise You, Holy Spirit, for each and every person in this room. I ask, Father, that You would show them their worth, show them their value. This morning, as everybody's head bowed and eyes closed, I when I asked if this morning, if you feel disconnected, if there's a place in you that you feel as though you feel disconnected, you feel all by yourself, you feel like that there's no one to turn to, no one to talk to about what's going on in your life, if you need healing in your life, if you need salvation in your life, I want you to come forward. I'm going to pray with you. I'm going to speak the word of life over you. I'm going to encourage you. If that's you this morning, I want you to come. I'm not going to judge you. Not going to do any of that. I'm just going to reach my faith out to you and encourage you, strengthen you as your brother, as your pastor, praying over you in faith. This morning, just come. If the Lord's dealing with your heart and you're feeling like you need to come, don't hesitate. Just step out of your seat and come.